Well, good morning, everyone. I need to start today with a confession, just to get your attention. Start with a confession, I recently wasted a whole hour of my evening beating new levels on a video game app on my phone. I'm pretty disciplined about how I use my time, so I'm trying to be more relaxed about the hours that I'm not working. Trying to be, you know, have more play in the times that I'm not working. I try to let go of the pressure to be productive with every hour of my day, not just my work days. But still, I mean, a whole hour playing games on a video app. This particular evening, I had several hours of free time, and so I thought I would just play this game for some of that time. And I think that's a fine idea. I still think that was probably okay, but I was very surprised just a few minutes later to look up and realize that a whole hour had gone by on the clock while I just spent a few minutes playing this game. It was clearly not what I intended. Another story for you. Several months ago on our last trip to Denver, Colorado to visit our children and grandchildren who lived there, our flight was delayed. We boarded the plane and we sat at the gate and we just sat there. So it must have been 45 minutes or so. We just sat there at the gate in the plane. And when I first sat down, I was on an aisle seat, and I noticed that the woman who was just ahead of me in the aisle seat on the other side, diagonally from me, had her phone out. And she was scrolling, and I think it maybe was her Instagram feed. I'm not sure because I couldn't see it precisely, but she was just scrolling. During those 45 minutes, I also checked my phone. I had a magazine along, so I read for a while from my magazine. I talked to Nita because we were flying together. We talked. But every time I saw the woman or looked to see what she was doing, because I was curious, she was scrolling. She was still scrolling. Every now and then, she would tap her screen and look at it, and then she would scroll. Scrolling some more. And I was just amazed at how she continued to do that as our plane taxied out to the runway as long as she could before we took off. And I was just amazed that she never seemed to tire of just all of that scrolling. So maybe you're thinking, so what? So why is that the way you would start a sermon? Well, it's because today what I want to do is invite you to do something that maybe you've never done before. And then I want you to think about the impact your phone has on your following of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about that and ask questions about that? I've been reading more and more about how our electronic devices, specifically our phones, but other ones as well, how they are changing us. There are more and more books and articles coming out about this, about how our phones impact our brains, how they impact our habits, how they're changing our habits, and how they're impacting our relationships, also impacting our politics and our rhythms of work, all of these things. Have you ever thought about how your phone is changing you in these ways or how it may be impacting your following of Jesus? My goal this morning is really just to invite you to think about that question and maybe to get you started on evaluating how this is happening for you, how this is playing out in your life. Actually, I'm just curious to know, since we're talking about this, how many of you have one of these right next to you in your hand, right now? Can you just hold it up? I'm not going to ask you to do anything with it. I'm with you, Rachel. Look at that. We're all over the place. There you go. Thank you. You don't want to. Okay, well, good for you. Well, as you may know, the Bible doesn't specifically mention telephones anywhere, smartphones or otherwise. And so as we think about something like that, that was invented long after the Bible was written, we have to apply wisdom and discernment and say, what in the scriptures will give us wisdom or guidance in how we decide what's good and what's not good for us? One of the ways to do that is to be clear about what our goals are as followers of Jesus, and then to say, well, is this thing or are other things in my life moving me in the direction of those goals, helping me to accomplish those goals, or is it moving me away from those goals? And there are lots of different ways that we could articulate goals for our lives as followers of Jesus. Obviously, the highest level goal is, as Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So maybe that's a criterion that you could use. I'm going to suggest this morning that we just think about the passages that Nita just read for us from Romans 12 and Philippians 4. Some simple guidance there that Paul gives He says, in Romans, he says, do not be conformed. In the NIV, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. In the New Living, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Now, that's a little challenging for us because obviously we live, all of us, in a particular culture where we exist and our lives are shaped by the people around whom we live, whether it's here in Mount Joy or anywhere else. You're going to be shaped by the culture around you. So maybe it would be better to think of this as don't blindly copy the behavior and customs of the world around you, or don't do that without thinking. Let God transform you by renewing your mind. In the New Living, it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So are our phones helping us to do that or not? Also in Romans 12, he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't have an overly inflated view of yourself. Don't be overly focused on yourself. And in Philippians 4, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't let anxiety be a primary shaper of your life or of who you are. Instead, let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So really this morning, I just want to guide you, help you think about, does your phone help you to do those things? Or does it get in the way of you doing those things? Not conforming to the world, not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, not being anxious about your life. And the truth is that our phones kind of do some of both, don't they? I mean, they help us in some ways and they get in our ways in other ways, I think, if we're honest about it. I think, obviously, they're helpful to us. That's why we have them. That's why so many of us have them in our hands or have them close by. For example, they help us to enjoy God. Your phone can help you enjoy God. Our mission statement here is to enjoy God, to love each other, and to bless our neighbors. Our phones can help us do all of those three things. For example, they can help us to enjoy God by giving us the Bible in many translations anywhere we have that phone with us, right? There are Bible apps. You can read the Bible on there. You can have the Bible read to you. There are devotionals that come to you that were updated every day. One of the things I'm doing right now in my private devotional moments in the morning is I listen to a phone app where a passage of Scripture is read to me, and there are reflection questions that are tailored to that passage of Scripture. And I'm listening to that, and I'm thinking about the questions. There's pauses, a space of time for me to think about the answers to those questions. And that comes it's updated. There's a new one every day of the week. What a wonderful tool to have. It helps me to continue in my practice a rhythm of enjoying God. They can also help us to love each other. Our phones can help us to love each other or bless our neighbors by helping us to stay in touch with each other. I know that many of you have text threads that you're on with friends here in the congregation or your family, other people, that those text threads help you to stay in touch with what's happening in people's lives. That's a wonderful tool that helps us to love each other better. We can send each other notes of encouragement that way, whether by email or by text. We can ask for prayer. Some of the prayer requests we get come in through text or through emails. I'm still getting used to people updating us from their hospital beds. I remember several years ago when some of you will remember Rachel Harris, who was here for a time, for many years, and she was in and out of the hospital quite regularly. And I remember many years ago, we were praying for her and we thought she was near death. And the next thing I know, there's an update on her Facebook page from her hospital bed, giving us an update on how she was doing. I was just astonished. I think this is incredible that from her hospital bed, she can give us these updates. We know specifically how to pray for her. We use our phones as a staff to coordinate, to stay in touch with each other, to check in on details between events. Wonderful way to help us do our work. Our phones give us access to huge amounts of information. We don't have to know as much anymore because we know how to find more information. You don't have to have it in your head the way maybe you used to. I hope you're not slacking on that, but your phones can help you a lot, and you can have access to much more information than we used to. And really, there's no ever excuse for being bored, I don't think, because, as I told you, there are games that you can play on your phone. And you can listen to podcasts, watch movies, videos, whatever. Anyway, so I just want to be clear with you. There are wonderful strengths, and that's why we use them. But they also present challenges to us. And I want to highlight three of them for you this morning for your consideration. We handed out, as you were coming in, a little half sheet. And you'll see that on the one side down at the bottom, there's a solid line that goes across the bottom. The first title, the first book title there is 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony, I guess, Ranke. I want to give you three of his 12. There are 9 other ones in his book, but I want to commend to you for this morning three of the ways that our phone is changing us. The first one that I want to highlight is that we fear missing out. We fear missing out. We have this sense that an exciting, interesting event is happening somewhere out there, and our phones will help us to stay in touch with it. There's an acronym that you're probably familiar with, FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out. Maybe you've seen that before. FOMO makes us anxious and restless because we always imagine that we're missing out on something, that a friend of ours or somebody we know or somebody we don't like maybe is having a more exciting experience today than I am, and I don't want to miss out on it. This fear is actually as old as the Garden of Eden. If you think about it, you could say that that's what made Adam and Eve eat of the fruit, right? Satan came to them in the form of the serpent and said, God's holding something back from you. You're missing out on something. And that fear of missing out was so strong that they bit into the fruit. Your phone, actually, a study showed that your phone is reducing your attention span. Your attention span is the amount of time you can focus on a task without being distracted. And our phones are shrinking our attention spans. They're increasing our distractions, or distractibility, I guess you would say, and they're increasing our fear of missing out. Ask yourself, how long can you wait in a grocery line without? How long can you linger at a traffic light or wait for your bagel to pop up out of your toaster without checking? How long can you sit in a doctor's office or a dentist's office and wait for your name to be called without, you know, not turning to the people maybe, but pulling it out to look at it? How long can you sit on a plane while it's delayed at the gate without, you know, sitting there looking at your phone? Several years ago, there was a study that was done that found that people check their phones an average of 51 times every day, which would be every 19 minutes if you divide it out over a 16-hour day. I'm thinking that's probably a low number for some of us. But it's partly because we have this sense that something exciting, something is interesting is happening out there beyond my immediate environment, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get behind anybody else who knows about it quicker than I do. And truthfully, we navigate a steady stream of information, you and I, in the texts we receive and send, the emails we receive and send, the Instagram posts, the Snapchats, the news headlines, the weather forecasts, sports updates, entertainment gossip, viral videos, all of this stuff just coming at us. Such a deluge of information every day. It's hard to hold on to what's truly important, to sift through all that and decide which of this is truly important. I think about that when I one of the things I do in the mornings is I check news headlines, and I'm the one who's scrolling, and I'm thinking, I'm just flickering through. Do I hold on to any of this stuff? I look at it and I kind of think I'm being informed, but I have to click on them to get more information. It's just news headlines going by. This, in some ways, this reminds me of one of the curses that God warned the children about. In the book of Deuteronomy, remember the book of Deuteronomy is at the end of Moses' life, and he's summarizing all of what God has said to the people of Israel through him. So he's summarizing the ways that God will bless them if they're faithful to following God. He summarizes the way God will curse them if they turn away from, if they fail to continue following him. One of the curses that he reminded them of was a curse that if they turned away from God, they would live in constant suspense. They would live in anxiety and not be able to rest. So in chapter 28, after he warns them, it's kind of a long list, kind of a scary long list, honestly, about plagues and disasters, about illnesses, about going into exile. He says in verse 65, he says, while you're in exile among these foreign nations, you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There, he says, the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning. because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights your eyes will see. Now, I don't want to suggest that that's what your experience is with your phone because you fear missing out, but you may not fear for your life, but I can assure you that God did not mean for you to live with an anxious mind. God did not mean for you to live with eyes that are weary with longing or to live with a despairing heart because of fear of missing out. Nor is it God's purpose for you to live in constant suspense filled with dread. He means for you to live out what we heard from Philippians 4, which is to not be anxious about anything, but to take everything that we're concerned about to the Lord so that His peace will guard our hearts and minds in His power and in His strength. A second way that our phones are changing us is that we become more self-absorbed. We become more self-absorbed. We post photos with captions like, "Here I am sitting in the airport," or "Here I am eating breakfast," or "Here I am sledding." "Here I am on my bad hair day. Look at me, just look at me. Would you not look at me? Like me, please. Look at me." We are looking, thank you. I guess I didn't have to ask you to look at me, did I? Oh my. My all-time favorite photo illustration of this is a photo we want to show you. It's a 14-year-old boy. The Queen of England is visiting Northern Ireland, and while she's there, this 14-year-old is, but think about what that, I mean, it's kind of cute and funny, and maybe you would want to do that if the queen were approaching you, but just think for a minute about what this photo means. It means that he's not focused on connecting with her as a person, and who is actually going to be the focus of this picture when he shows it to someone? He is, right? This is a picture of himself, and really, she's just a thing in his picture, right? She's what makes his selfie interesting. I mean, his selfies might be interesting otherwise, but this one is interesting because it's the queen who's behind him. The problem with this approach to our lives is that over time we become actors. We become like actors in our own lives. We live our lives as performances rather than as real lives, real world exchanges with other people, because we constantly worry about the impression we're making, about how we seem to be doing. And if this is striking a chord with you, or you think maybe, I'd urge you to ask a trusted friend to say, "Would you say this is even a little bit true of me?" Ask someone that you love, who loves you and whom you trust. And I want to be a little careful here, because I'm not really grumpy about this, or I don't mean to be. I mean, part of the point of social media is to stay in touch with people around us in terms of what's happening in our lives, learning about important events in our lives and their lives. So yes, of course, share the things that you enjoy and appreciate that are important to you, but maybe only every now and then, not every day or multiple times a day, or maybe share the post with a small circle of people that you know in real life, that you're staying in touch with in other ways. All I'm suggesting is that if you can't ever enjoy a place or a person or an experience without thinking about what it might look like in a photo, if you can't enjoy someone or an experience without thinking, what might this look like in a photo, you might be growing in your self-absorption. Your phone might be changing you into being more self-absorbed. If you can't ever enjoy a person or an experience or a place without posting it online, maybe you're becoming more self-absorbed, and maybe you're starting to perform in your own life more like an actor. Think of yourself more like an actor who's on a stage performing for other people rather than a real person who's just connecting with other people. Remember what Paul says in Romans 12. He actually says this other places too. "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't be overly puffed up with your own importance, overly focused on yourself." And I want to urge you also to just make sure that your online presence is mostly connected to real world connections, real world relationships, flesh and blood relationships with other people. Use it to stay in touch with the people who actually know you. I have a real world friend who's not my friend on Facebook. And that's because He does have a Facebook page, but there's almost nothing on it other than his photo, so you know it's his Facebook page, and a few scenery photos, and this note. What it says is, "I'm only here to run a group page. Let's be friends in real life." I love that phrase. I never forgot it. Short and to the point. I'm only here to run a group page. In other words, you have to have an individual page to be someone who can run a page for a group that you're part of. I'm only here to run a group page. Let's be friends in real life. Third way our phone is changing us is that we ignore real people. They draw us, they tempt us to ignore real people. I said earlier that one of the strengths is that they help us to stay connected, and that's true, but researchers are finding that people say they feel more connected by their phones, but they also feel more lonely. They also feel more lonely. So that I may be with you in body, I might be looking at you while we're talking, but my mind is somewhere else because I fear missing out. I mean, my conversation with you might be okay, but maybe there's a more interesting conversation or event happening out there somewhere. So you don't have my undivided attention, and I'm tempted to ignore what you're saying. The truth is that we are wired as creatures made in the image of God, as human beings. We're wired for loving, constructive, intimate, real-world relationships with God and with other people. And if your phone is helping you to do that more, that's great. But are there ways that your phone is hindering that, getting in the way of doing that? Do you ever find yourself ignoring a real person because you're paying attention to what's happening on your phone, or you're trying to connect to someone who's not with you? You know, one of the main themes of salvation history is God's presence with his people, his desire to be fully present with us. Another theme is the formation of a people of God whose life together and whose love for each other becomes a model for how the kingdom of God works, where we are fully present with each other, loving each other deeply. So it does matter if the technologies we embrace interfere with that. That matters. Whether it interferes with our awareness of God's presence, whether it interferes with our awareness of each other's presence and our ability to love and serve each other. You know, the great paradox of Christian friendship, and you know this from experience, is that the friends who love us best are the ones who will challenge us when we need to be challenged, and who will comfort us when we need to be comforted. The friends who love us best are not simply the people who like our posts on social media, people who make us feel more comfortable. That's not necessarily what it means to be someone's friend. True friends are brothers and sisters in Christ who will call us out when we don't look very much like Jesus, but who will also pick us up and dust us off when we start veering off the path of faithfulness. It's really hard to do those things well on social media. I also want to acknowledge, though, that this ignoring real people is not a completely new problem. If you look at this photo, you realize that in years gone by, it was other things, like newspapers. I just love this photo because there's all these guys who are lined up, look the same. From, I don't know when the photo on the bottom was taken, but many decades ago. But the truth is that our phones are much more absorbing than newspapers ever were, because they blink and buzz and they flash at us in ways that newspapers never did. So even when we're physically together, our phones can distract us from each other. Like when we go to a restaurant and we all put our heads down because we're all thinking about what our phones are doing. Our phones draw us in and they draw us away from each other. And you know, sadly, ignoring real people, the real people around us, is one of the reasons why pornography is so harmful. Pornography is enticing and exciting and it draws you in, but it will never satisfy you because it's not real. And it doesn't lead to the kind of relationships I described before. It doesn't lead to loving, constructive, intimate, real-world relationships, relationship with another person, with a real person. And truthfully, no real person can ever measure up to a fantasy. And with pornography, you end up feeling more isolated and alone than when you started, because pornography actually reduces your capacity for intimacy with other people. It's not just a neutral experience that you come back to your real life from. It actually reduces your capacity for intimacy with other people in the real world. So those are the three challenges I wanted to highlight for you. As I said, there are 9 other ones in this book. In fact, if you look at the half sheet that you have there, the first 2 books, the 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You and the TechWise Family, those are written by Christian authors who are writing from a Christian perspective. Also, I would highly recommend the documentary at the bottom, which I misnamed. So if you're thinking of watching that, I think you could probably find it by looking for it the way it's listed here, but the title of it is actually Social Dilemma. It's given here as Social Media, but the title is actually Social Dilemma. It's very much worth your time if you can see it. I want to end by reviewing what's on the other side of that handout, though. I just want to highlight several suggestions for limiting your phone's hold on you. Some of these will overlap a little bit, and they may not all apply to your situation. I'd invite you to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance about which ones have your name on them. These may not all apply to you, and might not be the moment in your life to adopt all of these. But maybe there's 1 or 2 on here that stand out to you. The Holy Spirit just kind of brings to your attention. You think, yeah, I think that's for me. Also, I want to encourage you as we do this to remember that spiritual and emotional maturity don't happen in a moment. They don't happen immediately. They develop slowly, one day at a time, like a plant grows. Emotional and spiritual maturity grow like plants grow, a little bit at a time. And just like you can't microwave a plant into maturity, you can't fertilize or water a plant into maturity in an instant, so too, you can't microwave your own maturity either. You can't do it all in one day. That's why habits are so important. That's why habits are so important, because they, little by little, day by day, they shape us into the people we are becoming, shape us into the people we become over time. What you can do is take charge of those daily habits, and that's what I'm inviting you to consider by looking at some of these. I mentioned 1 already, ask someone who knows you well whether they think you are addicted to or driven by your phone or by being online. That may be something that's worth doing for you. 3 on the list, turn off notifications on your phone whenever and wherever possible. I've realized that I really hate notifications, and so when I have a new app or something notifies me and I wasn't expecting it, I look it up and I turn off its notification. The reason is that I want to check updates on my schedule, not when the phone is just, because the phone is designed to just tell you anytime anything happens out there anywhere that connects to one of your apps. It's going to buzz or beep or ping or blink at you and say, hey, look at me. And if you fear missing out, it's just going to feed that and make that worse. 4, start your day with something else productive, constructive, before you look at your phone. Some people have adopted this as a practice. Start your day with some combination of exercise, of reading, preferably Bible reading, prayer, silence like that. Maybe breakfast, eating breakfast, and only look at your phone after you've completed some of those formative kinds of things. 5, agree on a no phones at the table standard for your household meals, where no one leaves the table to get their phones either, unless there's an actual emergency happening right now. 8, occasionally do a digital detox by not using your phone for a particular period of time. Maybe it's a half a day or a whole day in your week or every other week. Maybe it's multiple days while you're on vacation. You say, I'm going to be on vacation from my phone as well, and I leave it off or out of reach for a time. We sometimes encourage you to consider this during Lent, and maybe this is something you want to think ahead about. Maybe during Lent in the spring, you want to say, I want to take advantage of this. I probably shouldn't wait that long, but that's one of the ways that you can fast during Lent. And finally, 11, develop a non-electronic hobby if you don't have one, if you don't already have something that doesn't require your phone, something like gardening, where you can be outside and leave your phone behind, or sewing, or reading, or woodworking, playing a musical instrument, or playing board games. I hope some of you are still playing board games, a wonderful way to be with other people that doesn't involve your phones. So as I said, those are just suggestions. Consider them and see which ones might have your name on them. I'd invite you to consider this. And this morning, my point, as I said at the beginning, was just to invite you to begin to think about this if you've never thought about it, to realize that research tells us that our phones are impacting us in ways that we are